Good evening. Are you ready to get legal? Thank you all for joining us for our Stormtrooper Defective Body Armor mock trial. It is a privilege to be here at WonderCon, and thank you all for joining us during the dinner hour. How many people here are lawyers? Yay! We can't give COEs for mock trials. However, and this is the big however, we're gonna have a great time because we're gonna talk about summary judgment motions. So the law is important because it holds civil society together. And Star Wars is a wonderful foil for talking about the law because they're not really following any. So our case is set between Aftermath and Life Debt. So the Empire's still hanging on.
Of course it is.
Exactly. So it's still hanging on. It hasn't fallen yet, so it's before the Battle of Jakku. So that's very important to keep in mind where we are factually, because that plays a factor in what's at stake here. So we have plaintiff stormtroopers who are suing for their defective body armor.
Insolence.
They have formed a union, and they're suing the Empire, specifically the Imperial Department of Military Research, which hired a subcontractor to help build the armor, which is the Ishro Military Equipment Company. That's important for making the law work. So we'll let the attorneys do all the arguing and explain everything in further detail, but until then, I turn it over to our bailiff to begin the proceedings.
An improvised gavel. All rise. The Imperial District Court is now in session. The Honorable Mitch Dredd, Denman Judge presiding. Please be seated and come to order.
Counselors, others, welcome. I'm going to call the case of Stormtrooper Legion Union versus the Ishiro Military Equipment, Inc. The Galactic Empire has intervened. Will the parties please identify themselves? Plaintiffs first.
Special Counsel Yang.
Imperial Special Counsel Peak for the Galactic Empire.
And then how about the Stormtroopers?
Kathy Steinman for the Stormtrooper Legion Union.
Doug Ridley, plaintiff for the Stormtrooper Union.
This matter is on today for a summary judgment hearing. The legal standard is that if I find that there are no material facts in dispute, I may rule for one side or the other as a matter of law. Let's see how it goes. The moving party.
Thank you.
Good evening, and may it please the court. I am Imperial Special Counsel Christine Peak on behalf of the Galactic Empire. With me here today is Special Counsel Jack Yang. I am here to explain why this case must be dismissed due to the Empire's invocation of the Imperial State Secrets privilege. Special Counsel Yang will discuss the intensely prophylactic immunity that protects Imperial contractors in the unfortunate event that we even have to get to that issue. Let me start by reminding the court of the venerable and inviolate nature of the Imperial State Secrets Privilege, which is vital in protecting military secrets from disclosure to those without a legitimate need to know. It was properly asserted in this case by Ivari Chalice, the head of the Imperial Department of Military Research. When asserted, the privilege is absolute. The offending evidence is simply lost, like Grand Admiral Thrawn. May we have the next slide, please? After the privileged evidence is removed from the case, The court looks at what is left and asks, how in the galaxy can this case be tried? Let me explain why it cannot. There are three circumstances when a case must be dismissed after the Imperial State Secret's evidentiary privilege has been invoked. One, if the plaintiffs cannot prove their case without the missing evidence. Two, if the privilege deprives defendant of evidence it needs to prove one of its defenses, such as the defense of Imperial contractor immunity. And three, if trying this case to judgment would present an unacceptable risk of disclosing state secrets. All three of these circumstances are present here. Let's just take a moment to reflect on the kind of evidence these bucketheads won't get to use. Have the next slide. Let's start with design drawings. Plaintiffs cannot show the design was defective without the approved designs. The next slide, please. Now let's move on to post-award communications. Defendants can't show the design approval was more than a bureaucratic rubber stamp if they can't introduce evidence of their communications with DMR after they won the contract. And none of this gets at all to the manufacturing specifications. It's going to be impossible to sort out whether the armor was manufactured according to the design specifications, because neither side is going to be able to show whether the armor did or didn't conform. Without the ability to fully explore any number of potentially dispositive facts, respectfully, any ruling this court could make would be a sham. And even if the parties could proceed based on the non-privileged evidence, trying this case would still pose an unacceptable risk of disclosing privileged Imperial State secrets. The core of this case concerns Imperial military secrets of the highest order. The precise material specifications involved in the design and construction of the armor must not fall into enemy hands. And the risk of disclosure goes beyond the strengths and weaknesses of just one type of armor. The fact that I am forced to assert this privilege at all inevitably discloses some information about the Empire's military capabilities, which would be detrimental to the safety and security of the Empire and the public. Now, more than ever, these leaks cannot happen. The risk that our enemies will gain insight into how Imperial resources are allocated, that they will learn the identities of engineers who have done work for the Empire, leaving them or their families as targets for the rebels, these risks are simply too great. If the rebels or any of the other bad actors in the galaxy were to learn this information, the safety and security of the entire galaxy would be imperiled. In summary, Your Honor, there is simply no way to try a design defect case without the designs. And I'm sure the court agrees. It would be unacceptable to risk disclosure of Imperial military secrets by allowing plaintiff's counsel to ask any questions whatsoever. Now, if there's nothing further, I yield the floor to my distinguished colleague, Special Counsel Yang.
Well, can I ask a question?
A question? What is it?
Let me remind you that I am an Imperial judge. I have some power. The question is, if this case is about whether stormtrooper armor is effective, isn't it true that anyone in the field who has gone up against a stormtrooper in armor knows whether it is effective or not, and as a consequence, it cannot be a state secret?
Your Honor, in response to your question, while it is true that someone could examine armor in the field, that would not give plaintiffs what they need.
Objection!
Overruled.
Thank you, counsel. This is no time for demonstrative. That would not give plaintiffs what they need to plead their case. They have alleged a design defect, and examining armor on a fallen soldier will not tell you anything about whether the design is effective, only how the armor was made.
We shall see.
We shall.
Insolence. May it please the court. I am Imperial Special Counsel Yang, and I'm representing the glorious Empire in connection with this frivolous action brought by these incompetent stormtroopers alleging our contractor, Ishiro Military Equipment, created defective body armor that was worn by them during the operations on the moon of Endor. This court suggests that IME can be held liable for defects if it can show that they have exercised discretion in design of stormtrooper armor. The Empire has moved for summary judgment on the basis that there is no factual dispute. Specifically, we must demonstrate, one, the Empire approved reasonably precise specifications, two, the equipment conformed to those specifications, and three, that IME warned the Empire of defects of which it had actual knowledge. I will now address each of these accordingly. The Empire issued a 500-page specification for the stormtrooper armor utilized during the Battle of Endor. Based on that specification, IME created all designs and drawings, submitted them to the Empire's overseeing staff, who in turn designated the review and approval on each page by initialing each page of the design. Clearly, a very detailed review. On the second issue, that the equipment conformed with specifications, the insolent stormtroopers will suggest that the armor was defective. However, any injuries endured by stormtroopers are explained through unpredictable terrain, incompetent stormtrooper forces, the rage of war and strategy and tactics, and unanticipated indigenous forces. The security footage, which we will show you, will demonstrate how the stormtrooper armor functioned as expected. Please show security clip number one. As you will see, the armor is designed to balance protection versus function. A large accelerating object compressing a man's skull cannot be prevented by a mere helmet of any kind. Please show the second security piece footage. Armor, regardless of how well designed, cannot protect its wearer from his own incompetence. Clearly, in this situation, the insurgency had the higher ground. Finally, I demonstrate the rages of war, of unconventional strategy and tactics. I will warn those who are faint of heart that what I'm about to show you is very disturbing.
Freeze! Don't move.
We surrender.
Do you hear their screams? The cracking of bones, the cutting of flesh by an overwhelming enemy? Of course, any stormtrooper overwhelmed in numbers and made defenseless would succumb to the primal weapons of their attackers. Their screams continue to echo in my mind. When troops are overwhelmed by numbers, not even sophisticated armor can protect you. And finally, IME did not warn of defects in the armor because they were not aware. In fact, no one could have anticipated the ruthlessness of this species. This species.
That one's pretty good.
They are like the fire wasp, overwhelming their prey by numbers and using their crude armaments to crack the arm of stormtroopers like that of a Yavin 4 crawlfish. To not only neutralize their opponent, but to feast upon their flesh. Please.
What did the Ewoks do to the stormtroopers they injured?
I can't not see it. My whole squad was taken out, and I ran, but I still saw them being dragged off. And they were setting them up on rotisseries. They were being cooked. They were being beheaded. On my way out, I saw four guys from my squad. Their heads were on sticks. One of those little bastards was playing them like drums. You know, I get it. I'm not looking for sympathy, okay? This is not a friendly face. We were being trained from day one to hurt people and break their stuff. I know that. We were bad guys. I'm not making excuses, okay? But you know, as bad as the Empire was, we never ate anybody, okay? Those guys didn't deserve that.
They did not deserve that. To quote Commander Kurtz, after the ecological disaster at Jeddah, the horror, the horror, the horror. Your Honor, we would like to reserve the remainder of our time for rebuttal. If not, now I'm open to questions, if you have any.
I am speechless.
Understood.
Let me hear from the opposing party.
Oh my God, tear this dude apart.
Good evening. Let me tell you what this case is really about. Did the Empire and Ishiro military equipment cut corners and risk lives to save a few bucks and to save themselves from a force choking by Lord Vader? The Stormtrooper Legion Union submits that answer is a resounding yes. I will be addressing IME's motion, and my colleague will be addressing the Empire's motion. IME contends that this case should be dismissed because they were just doing what the Empire told them to do. For this defense to apply, they must prove, and Mr. Yang was incorrect, they must actually prove four things, not three. They must prove, number one, that IME contracted with the government to provide a product for military use. Number two, the Empire approved reasonably precise specifications for the product. Number three, that the product conformed to the specifications. And number four, that IME warned the Empire about the dangers in the use of this product. IME must prove that there is no dispute of fact on all four of these points. As to the first element, there's no dispute that IME contracted with the Empire to provide body armor for military use. That's not the issue here. Let's get to what really is the issue. As to the second element, there is a dispute of fact as to whether or not the Empire approved reasonably precise specifications for the product. The Empire admits that the specifications for this armor that it issued was unusually brief.
Who approved Stormtrooper body armor designs?
I did some. Every Chalice did some of the others. We were on a pretty tight deadline, so he put together an unusually brief 500-page specification for that contract.
Unusually brief. The Empire treated this like they were designing a costume, not military-grade battle armor. While this design might win an Academy Award for Best Costume Design in 1978, it was not intended to save lives. Additionally, the government's involvement in the approval process must transcend rubber stamping. There must be a continuous exchange and a back and forth dialogue between the government or the Empire and the contractor. Here, not only is there a tribal issue of fact as to whether the Empire rubber stamped these plans, we have an outright admission from a ranking Imperial officer that that's what they did.
Now, how were approvals made?
Well, so we put out the specs, and then IME would come back with their, you know, draft designs, and then basically one or the other of us would have to sign off and approve on each one of the different design specs, but we definitely didn't give too much time to review any of them.
Now, we should also look at what were the motivations and the priorities for the Empire at this time, because that will shine a light as to why they did not place any priority on Stormtrooper body armor and gave it cursory attention. The priority at this time was building Death Star II, and mid-level officers in the Empire were terrified of the consequences from the Empire if it was delayed.
Why were you on a timeline?
Everything was on a timeline. At that point, we were mostly focused in the department on the development of Death Star II and procurements for the planet-killing laser for that facility. Everything else really took kind of a, you know, second seat.
What would happen if there had been any delays on the Death Star II project?
Well, there would have been consequences.
What do you mean by consequences?
We were working in an organization where, you know, our superiors were frequently murdered for minor mistakes. I mean, you know, it was directly under the supervision of Lord Vader, and, I mean, he was famous for killing admirals who made simple errors. You know, there wasn't any of us that were about to find out what would happen if one of us made a mistake or ran late on something.
The Empire wanted this done as fast and as cheap as possible because they treat their soldiers as if they were dispensable, like they had a whole factory on Kamino that was replicating soldiers. As to the element, the third element, there is also a dispute of fact as to whether or not the armor conformed to the specifications. The testimony is that the armor did not protect the stormtroopers from all the things that it was supposed to. The Empire admits that the armor failed during the Battle of Endor.
Now, why was Ishiro military equipment used to produce the body armor for the troopers on Endor?
Their bid came in the lowest. We were on a timeline, so we really didn't get too much chance to review anything else about the corporation. We really just needed to get it as fast as possible, as cheap as possible.
The armor was designed to protect from blaster energy, heat energy, cold energy, kinetic energy, piercing, slashing, and poison. As I said, the Empire admitted that the armor did not protect the stormtroopers during the Battle of Endor.
Stormtrooper body armor, did they contain any warranties?
Absolutely, yeah. The specs that we set required that they would protect against, you know, projectile weapons and, you know, stabbing and energy weapons and blunt force trauma, you know, toxic environments, that sort of thing. So the contract specified that IME had to make sure that the armor would withstand those kinds of attacks.
Did the armor used by our troops at the Battle of Endor protect the troops from Ewok projectile weapons?
No. No, it sure didn't.
Were there any warranties listed on your armor?
Yes, sir.
Directing your attention to our display screen, do you see Exhibit A?
Yes.
Do you recognize this exhibit?
I do.
What is Exhibit A?
Those are the warranties that were listed on the inside of my armor. I mean, I've never been able to read the ones on my armor since I was probably the 20th person that this gear's been issued to, so it's pretty well worn off. But that's the same standard thing that was printed on the inside of all of them.
What are the warranties listed on Exhibit A from your armor?
It's what you'd expect. The armor protects against inhospitable environments, projectile weapons fire, blaster bolts.
Were you deployed anywhere else where you personally witnessed stormtrooper body armor fail?
Yeah, I was at the Battle of Endor.
Were you deployed anywhere else where you personally witnessed stormtrooper body armor fail?
Yeah, I was at the Battle of Endor.
How was it dangerous?
Well, I mean, once the shield generator blew up, all hell broke loose, and there were these little teddy bear characters that just started coming out of the trees. I mean, they were everywhere, you know, and we just got completely annihilated. I mean, it wasn't the sort of thing you'd ever expect, these little furry guys, but
everywhere you looked, you know, you'd hide behind a rock, it'd turn out the rock was another one of them, and I mean, they were just everywhere.
What species attacked you?
The Imperial designation, I think, was called Ewoks.
How tall is an Ewok?
The bigger ones would be about maybe 1.5 meters.
What weapons did Ewoks use?
That was the joke of the whole thing. Hardly anything you'd call a weapon. You know, sharp sticks, rocks, slings, the occasional spear and arrow.
Did you believe your body armor would protect you from any of these threats posed by the Ewoks?
Absolutely.
What would happen when an Ewok attacked a stormtrooper with an axe made of a stick and rock?
It was insane. I mean, it just went right through. It was like the armor wasn't even there.
What would happen when an arrow would strike a stormtrooper?
It just cut right through. I mean, the armor might as well have been paper as far as it, you know, any good it did.
What would happen if an Ewok struck a stormtrooper with a stick?
I watched one of my guys go down that way. He was running, and five of those little things just swarmed him and bludgeoned him to death. I mean, the armor did nothing. Nothing.
It did nothing. The Empire and IME failed to provide armor that would protect their soldiers from even the most primitive creatures and weaponry. And worse, the Empire and IME's actions allowed their soldiers to die in horrific ways, stoning, stabbing, and being barbecued like a porg. Finally, as to the last element, there's no evidence before the court that IME warned the Empire about the dangers in the use of the armor, and so that is not an issue here. IME has the burden of proof on this motion, and it has failed to show that there are no tribal issues of fact to support their claim of immunity. We respectfully ask that this wise judge, the robes are similar, to deny IME's motion and allow the stormtroopers their day in court.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If the Empire truly didn't care about their stormtroopers and knowingly gave them armor that just looked good and wouldn't protect them from anything, was there a defect? Didn't it operate as intended?
Well, they claim that they have state secrets that show that it was designed to protect them, but that they could not have anticipated that these primitive creatures would overtake their armor.
All right, we shall see.
May it please the court. The armor in this case was defective. The Empire has tried to interfere once again into another suit that is being brought by our brother stormtroopers. In this case, they had defective armor. And in order to prevail on a state secrets defense, Your Honor, you know that they would need to show that we would have no hope of prevailing if we didn't have the privileged evidence in the case. And as much as the Empire wants to show redacted copies of their own memos, the fact is that we have an officer's testimony that shows without a doubt, that the Empire did not do things the way they were supposed to in this case. And one of the factors in order to prevail on that state secrets is that the privileged evidence is the only thing that we would be able to use in order to prevail. The testimony of that poor trooper, the testimony of the officer admitting that they didn't do what they were supposed to do in this case is enough for us to prevail not only at trial, but certainly under the standards of this motion. In order to prevail on a state secrets defense, they would also need to show that the privilege somehow deprived us of our defense in this case. Without the privileged documents, we would not be able to prevail. And all we have to do is put on that testimony of that officer. And the case is over at that point. We certainly, at a bare minimum, Your Honor, have an issue as to fact in this case, which would compel you to please deny their summary judgment motion. In addition to these three facts that would require them to prevail on a state action, state secrets case, We have that testimony from the stormtrooper, the very, very, very disturbing testimony of the stormtrooper. And as much as the Imperial agents want to come in here today, Your Honor, and make light of the fact that these brothers got attacked by these vicious little teddy bears, at a bare minimum, this armor was supposed to protect them from that. It was supposed to protect them from a whole lot more than rocks. And we don't need their redacted memos in order to establish that. Finally, Your Honor, they're asking for us to, for you to set this aside based on their interference because of state secrets. Let's talk about this just in its big picture sense, Your Honor. First of all, what secrets are we talking about here at all? Now, while the court has the secret under seal, unredacted information in front of him, we know that in this case, whatever secrets they may be claiming as to whether the armor was supposed to do this or supposed to do that, the losses that the Empire has put our poor stormtroopers through again and again and again cannot be understated. I don't understand how they can come up with a straight face and argue to this court that there are secrets that are supposed to be protected. We are at a point where at this point, so many people have had these state secrets on the specifications of the armor. They put out the bid to every armorer in the galaxy trying to get the lowest price on these stormtrooper armors, and everyone has the specs at this point. And so for them to come in and try to black it out for this court, when I can go and get it for 10,000 galactic credits, I can get a copy of this document from any of these armorers anywhere on the street. Let's talk for a second about the doctrine of fear that we know is pervasive throughout the Empire as well. They're trying to hide behind state secrets, but they want everyone to know that they're a force to be reckoned with, and they want everyone to know that they need to be feared, so much so that when we tried to sue just a simple armor manufacturer, they decided to come in here and act the big guns in the courtroom and try to interfere in our lawsuit by trying to shut us down again when we're trying to protect our brother stormtroopers. And I will say, to end my part of the state secrets discussion, are they really even a state at this point? At risk of losing my own head, I don't fear Vader and Palpatine anymore. Who's leading this empire? What state are we talking about at this point? Who do these two even report to anymore? Through Operation Cinder, through the fall of Death Star 2, the Empire has seen loss after loss after loss, and they are on the verge of not having a state to protect with secrets anymore. Besides all that, Your Honor, on the technical merits, I would ask you to please deny their motion for summary judgment based on the fact that there's no way they can support the state secrets argument. Thank you.
Are you aware of any stormtroopers that have deserted as a consequence of the actions of the Empire?
This one.
What was your designation?
I served as TK-93021, Your Honor. Served right up to the Battle of Yavin, and decided to leave and pursue my legal career, and here I stand, Your Honor. And by the way, I think I can speak firsthand as to the quality of stormtrooper armor. Thank you, Your Honor.
Rebuttal argument is permitted.
Thank you, Your Honor. I must rise in rebuttal to plaintiff's counsel's argument. First, with regard to the trooper's ability to testify, the troopers have no personal knowledge of the designs, and respectfully, they don't need it. Bucketheads don't need blueprints to do their jobs.
Now, can you even answer this question for me? When is a secret no longer a secret?
Can the court provide more context?
No, I'll just answer the question. When two people know it.
That's exactly it.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will now move on To address the even more disturbing argument, we have heard opposing counsel adopt the ill-advised strategy of questioning the viability of the Galactic Empire. Let me kindly explain something to plaintiff's counsel through the court. The untimely demise of certain religious leaders has done nothing to compromise the unparalleled strength and infrastructure of the imperial state. And those who believe otherwise may feel free to express their concerns to Admiral Sloan directly. The Imperial military now capably controls all executive and legislative governmental functions. Our Imperial Supreme Court, the Appellate Court, continues to hear the Empire's cases. And I reiterate, the decision to assert the state's secrets privilege is not merely a litigation tactic. The privilege is to protect galactic security. The people desire order, stability, and above all, security. The Empire provides all of these things. We are the stabilizing force. Our military provides jobs, union jobs, to orphan scrum rats whose lives would otherwise be wasted on petty crime.
Hear, hear.
What can this new republic offer people? Without a central authority, the galaxy will descend into regional conflict and violence. And in the end, the people will lay their freedom the new republic offers down at our feet and say to the Empire, protect us. And as a sign of the Empire's good faith, if any troopers remain dissatisfied after this case is dismissed, as it must be, the Empire is happy to reprogram them at no charge.
Plaintiff's counsel suggested that they've made arguments that would actually challenge mine. So shame. They suggest that the specifications of our armor were insufficient. May counsel need to be reminded the design of stormtrooper armor has existed since the Clone Wars over 25 years ago. And as a result, there is no need for detailed specifications for one thing which is well understood amongst Empire military personnel. Secondly, she suggests again that the armor didn't conform with specifications, but fails to understand and appreciate the vicious terrorist force of the indigenous species, the Ewok. This was not anticipated. A person overwhelmed with 4, 5, 10 1 meter high individuals, having their armor cracked again, to restate, like the shell of a Yavin 4 crawfish. No armor is designed to withstand that type of punishment. It was not the sophistication of their weapons, but it was their tactics and numbers which felt for stormtroopers. I understand the pain of stormtroopers, the deep abyss that felled them, to not only be defeated, but to be desecrated and eaten. All while the rebels, the insurrection, celebrated, paying no mind to the carnage that ensued. So I repeat, the horror, the horror, the horror. Thank you, Your Honor.
These stormtroopers are not bucketheads. They are people, and they demand respect. If these specifications were so... I can't read my writing. If the design had existed for more than 25 years, and plaintiff's counsel is claiming that there was no need for detailed specifications, that's ignoring what the law requires. But of course, we know that the Empire always ignores the law. They are not above the law. They are not above this court.
Because we are the law.
And finally, they want you to believe that these stormtroopers in the Battle of Endor had never faced such primitive creatures before. But I submit to you that they had encountered Wookiees before.
A highly sophisticated species.
That live in trees.
And if they were this sophisticated species, then why did the little bears with rocks and staffs break the armor repeatedly, repeatedly, over and over again? The state secret's defense in this case cannot be won. The Empire is trying to argue their point, but they can't get past the fact that we have deposition testimony from their own officer that is then attributed to the Empire. We have their own admissions that establish our position. We're not arguing our case here. We're just laying open the facts. We're laying out in front of you, Your Honor, exactly what these video depositions state, what the incontroverted testimony states, and there can be no other choice in this case but to deny their motion for summary judgment. And I will say, and I will predict, just like the inevitable fall of the Empire that is just right around the corner, we will prevail at trial, we will prevail at showing that this body armor was defective, and we will finally provide some justice for our brother stormtroopers. Any questions from the court? I'm happy to take it.
I think we can go forward.
Thank you, sir.
So now we come to the moment when I have to rule as to whether to grant or deny the motion to dismiss, the summary judgment that the Empire and the manufacturer want. I will take judicial notice of the fact that the Empire does not have a strong track record in protecting its plans. I will also take judicial notice of the fact that even when those plans do become public, they have flaws. So I will first deny the motion for summary judgment on the grounds of the State Secrets Act.
Absurd.
This may be the first order I issue in this case. And it may well be the last. On the question as to whether material facts remain in dispute regarding whether the armor was defective or not defective, the answer should be clear. Who believes that there still remain material facts in dispute as to whether the armor was defective? Which is to say that should I find, as a matter of law, that the Stormtrooper's argument fails. Anybody thinks the stormtrooper argument fails? We have one vote. Actually, two hands is still one vote. Just so you know. But there's a future for you in the Empire.
Not for long.
Oh, and we have an Ewok voting. So, of course, I am not deciding the ultimate issue as to whether or not the armor was defective, not defective, only whether the case should proceed to the next phase, which is typically a trial. And the answer is yes, it must proceed to trial. The summary judgment motions are denied. The stormtroopers will have their day in court. So with that, let's step out of character for a moment. I want everybody to introduce themselves. Tell us who you really are.
I'm Kathy Steinman. I'm a deputy city attorney for the city of San Diego. So I usually actually defend the government.
My name is Doug Ridley, and I'm a criminal defense attorney.
My name's Christine Peek. I'm in private practice at McManus Faulkner in San Jose, California, and about half my time is spent on cases against the government.
And I'm Jack Yang. I'm a, actually I work for a valley in, the, excuse me, for a company in the valley, which doesn't want me to actually say who I am. But actually I practice in privacy, and I've been doing it for over 10 years.
My name's Joshua Gilliland. I'm one of the founding attorneys of the Legal Geeks, and I focus on electronic discovery and civil litigation.
And I am actually Mitch Denben. I am a United States magistrate judge. I'm not, this is my real robe, but without the dread badge that I wear in court. And I will say that although some of these arguments were hyperbolic, this was the level of intensity and knowledge of detail that we hope to see in a real case, if not some of the overpassioned arguments and attacks on one's opponents. But other than that, we hope that you were entertained by this, and we'll be happy when we step down if you have questions to answer them.
Good. So this has been a lot of fun. Do we have any questions? Did people notice any of the Easter eggs that we put in? Did anyone notice the homage to the major? Willis R. Housen. That was for Willis O'Brien and Ray Harryhausen. And TK 812, that was in honor of the magnificent Van Halen album, OU 812. Why not? So, questions. We've solved all the world's mysteries with the law.
That's true.
Josh, just one
thing. Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
If the empire falls, where are you going to get your recovery? Are you going to self-insure?
The original lawsuit is actually against the armor manufacturer, and the empire intervened, meaning that they stuck their nose in and said, we didn't like that you had the case. So it would be against the actual company that made the armor rather than the empire itself.
Yeah, and we had to add them because suing a government's hard, because the sovereign immunity. So, and the Federal Tort Claims Act doesn't get into issues of fraud. So we had to figure a way around that. So Ishiro Military Equipment was in honor of Ishiro Honda, who was the director of the first Godzilla movie. Ooh. Yes.
I'm no advocate of the Empire, right? But Micah, Jedi, nice to meet you. In full transparency, I want to know why it was so easy to do this.
Because you have the specs.
Good job.
But if the Empire knows the Jedi are an enemy of the Republic, why could I do this so easy? I need a challenge.
The Jedi were exterminated. They were down to like a couple guys left. So that night when Anakin murdered all those children, took care of them.
It's true.
Yes, sir. Yeah, in the front, second row.
You sweet summer child.
So the question is, if the Empire is taking care of the stormtroopers' needs both before, during, and after combat, what are their potential, what are their damages? Sort of like, is there an Imperial VA? And we know how well that works.
Yeah. It's So we did a parody lawyer ad, and one of the, that's on our YouTube channel, and we made fun of those late night ads that are directed towards people who worked in shipyards, who have cancer because of asbestos, because of all the asbestos pipes. So there are toxic torts in other cases where service members get injured, and they can still sue for recovery because the government does waive liability for that. That's how those cases can go forward. But that's part of the theory here on why we needed a subcontractor to make this work.
The short answer is there's more to damage than just recovering your medical expenses.
In second row, then gentlemen in back in blue.
You first.
So the question is basically, what legal research did you do? And the answer was lots. So Christine, do you want to? You came up with a lot of the state secret argument.
So the contractor immunity is based on a case called Boyle versus United States, which if you want an actual citation for it, you can come up afterwards because I have it up here. And also another one called Trevino versus General Dynamics Corp. So that's where we got most of the facts and the law of the contractor immunity from.
And you could find it is actually part of the jury instructions for California.
Gentleman in blue.
That's a very complicated and fact-specific question.
The good thing is you can just make it up.
But actually, I think the judge's question kind of, it was funny, but it gets to the heart of the issue. How much of it, how much of the secret is public, and how much of it is publicly known before the privilege isn't justified anymore? And that is necessarily a fact-specific determination on a case-by-case basis.
Front row, the Grand Admiral.
I want to ask, if you're going to take it to trial, are you going to have a jury trial?
Stay tuned.
I would object to that. I'm not going to subject my clients to that again.
It might actually subject the court to too much murder.
We don't comment on litigation strategy.
But don't go to the barbecue.
Yeah. Gentlemen on my far right, fifth row, I think.
No, they actually have to have warned the Empire about the defects in order to get clear, and that evidence is not yet before us.
Okay. We need to stop, but we'll take any questions outside. You can contact us through thelegalgeeks.com. Thank you all. Have a wonderful WonderCon. We have another panel on Sunday at 2:30.